Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a group of friends try to figure out who or what was standing alone outside under a sign. Or was it a sign by a sign?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is! Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802.
And if you love the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com. $5 a month gets you access to all of our EPP bonus episode, advanced episodes of the show, weeks before the release to the public, all ad-free. And you get our ebook, our audiobook, lots and lots of really cool extras, all for supporting the program. You can even get 1 month free if you sign up for the annual membership. Now available at both places, ghostpodcast.com and patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Harper joining you for the weekend edition of the program. Welcome, Harper. And how are you this fine day?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Are you really doing great?
Yeah.
You are walking around the house with a decapitated head and doing hair on it is what I've been seeing the last couple of days.
Well, what can I say? When you got your own mannequin head, you got to do something with it.
you wanted to learn how to, well, you wanted to practice doing hair on stuff.
Yeah.
So we got you online, ordered her a mannequin head that you... It's like used for, folks who are learning how to do that for a living. But it was a little better quality than just the toy kids one. So Harper is literally wandering around the house with a decapitated head, showing us hairstyles throughout the day that she's come up with on them.
What do you expect? It's me.
I couldn't expect anything less. So there you go. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, hey guys, I've written in before, roughly 2.5 years ago, about seeing the ghost of a Native American woman in my neighbor's basement as a child. I had to stop while listening for a while because my paranoia began acting up, but I've started listening again. My two stories for this letter happened several years apart. My first story happened when I was 12 or 13 back in 02 and 03, and was on Halloween. I went trick-or-treating with some friends that lived near the post office at the time. We were walking around the neighborhood and were passing by the post office, and we noticed a figure of a woman standing in front of a large gate that's there, where I presume postal trucks drop off and pick up shipments. We decided to gather near the sign for the post office, which is a 4-foot-high and roughly 10-foot-long brick and concrete structure. They were all huddled on the leftmost part of the sign and watched as this woman frantically shook and pulled at the lock on the gate, but we heard no noise as she did this. I decided to move to the other side of the sign to see if it was just the gully behind eating up the noise, but when I looked around the corner, the woman was not there. The gate was clear, and so was the driveway leading up to it and the grass all around, and there were no cars in the parking lot. I turned to tell my group that she was not there and noticed they were all looking towards the gate and discussing who she might be. I asked why they were still looking as she was not there any longer, and they all told me she was still on that side of the sign. We all decided to leave after that conclusion, and even if I try to discuss it with my friends, he refuses. That was the last occurrence I had before being placed on a medication for the next 6 years. My second story happened when I was 23 in 2013. I had been off my previously mentioned medication for several years at this point for ADD and had a stable job at a summer camp. At this point in time, my grandmother had begun suffering from strokes. We don't truly know how many, but after what we thought was her fourth, she was placed in a hospital and then a rehabilitation center. Since she lived alone, apart from her two dogs, I was asked to watch the house and the dogs for a few months that she would be away. I did not fully move in, but did live there more often during that period, and only one instance happened. One morning on a Saturday, I was lying asleep in bed after having taken the dogs out earlier, trying to be lazy. I was violently awoken by the door to the bedroom I was using being shaken, and the knob is turning and rattling. I grabbed near me for a shotgun and had kept near the bed while staying there when I noticed that there were no feet or shadows near the door. Bright sunlight streamed through, but all the while the door shook. For whatever reason, I loudly said, "Grandpa, go away! I'm trying to sleep!" As soon as I finished the word sleep, everything stood still. I went and unlocked the door to find no one in the house or the two dogs secure in the kitchen where I had left them. I began to sob, thinking I had just lost a final chance to see or even talk to the spirit of my grandfather who had passed 6 years earlier. Thank you very much for reading my stories. I hope they bring out interesting discussions.
Well, I still hate it if there's a ghost in my bedroom at night. But that's just what they do.
It's one of those things, no matter what, it would be uncomfortable. You know, it's unsettling to have a ghost there, but I understand where they're coming from, wondering, did I just blow my chance to have an interaction with the ghost of my grandfather? And you know, I don't think you need to necessarily look at it that way. You know, I would think on the other side, the grandfather would get it and be like, oops, I scared them. I didn't mean to do that. But they heard from me. They got kind of my sign. So maybe that's it. It may not be the, you know, the perfect let's have a giant hug with a ghost moment that people want. But I think the fact that you even recognized that this may have been him and that you had that moment is probably really all he wanted more than anything, was just that recognition that, oh, you get it. I'm here. You realize I'm here. Good. Done. Because I think a lot of times after folks pass, those moments happen. But I think sometimes they're brushed off. They're kind of excused as something else happening. And they're missed. And they're not necessarily looked at as that was the ghostly interaction. Because not everybody's going to get the full-bodied apparition of somebody showing up at your house. But sometimes it's little signs, little things here and there. And sometimes it's not even spooky. Sometimes it's just like, you know, you hear a song on the radio and it's like, they never play that song anymore. Why would I be hearing it right now? Sometimes it's a clock doing something. There's all different things that can happen that seem to show a sign. But you have to look for them. You don't want to overlook for them and then assign it to something that's really not a sign. But I think signs happen. Yeah.
I do the same thing that I can't really tell if it's he or she.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of do the same thing just for emergencies. I keep a racket by my bed for emergencies.
Okay. So how are you relating that to the story?
Because the part where you had, like, the shotgun by his bed.
Oh, I see. I get you. So you keep a tennis racket by your bed for the, just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case you can beat someone with a tennis racket. That'll work out well.
But
yeah,
I, I don't know if this is just me being a slighter or if there's actually something up in my office, but for some reason, my picture, that Real Ghost Stories Online picture, mm-hmm. it falls off the wall.
It does?
Yeah.
And you put it up, and keep putting it back up?
Yeah, and there's no screws under it. It's just like the ones that are on mm-hmm. top. And to me, it's like...
That'd be more poltergeisty. But you know what I bet it is more than anything? Daddy needs to just put it on your wall more securely.
No. I even checked. The screws are just fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm rationalizing this because you are underneath an area of the house where there's a lot of ventilation. And your room has a crazy amount of ventilation. When your door is shut, it feels like there's wind coming out from underneath your door because of the airflow through this house. And this house has a lot of airflow. That's why our doors shut and slam all the time when nobody's touching them. It's the airflow of the house. So I would not be surprised if in that little office, that's something to do with airflow. Because that's a pretty light picture. I don't think it's anything ghostly. I think there's a logical explanation on that one.
This will happen when all my doors are shut. And mm-hmm. that office, it's still.
Really?
Like, there's absolutely no breeze.
Well, I don't know. I guess, you know, you'll have to... I'll have you show me it more after the show. And I'll take a look at it.
And I don't know why, but I started talking to it.
Don't start talking to it.
I just said, can you please stop this?
And did it stop?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe you've settled it. But it's never a good idea to start engaging with something. Okay?
Okay, I just wanted it to stop. That's all I said.
When's the last time it happened?
Like a couple months ago.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe you made peace with it.
Maybe.
Okay, let's not talk to them anymore, though, okay?
Okay.
Okay, no breaking out the Ouija board to figure out who it is.
I didn't really even want to know who it was.
Yeah, I don't think I do either.
Well, my office is haunted.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. See, when you do a ghost story show with your daughter, you learn these things. Otherwise, this would be something you'd tell me when you were like 30. You'd be like, Dad, guess what happened? Why didn't you tell me back then? Well, we weren't doing a ghost story show. See? No, we have that way of that line of communication. Let's go to our next letter. It says, I was 8 years old when I lost my mom. I became obsessed with death and ghosts. After losing my mom, I had a dream about her, and she had come back to life. We spent all day at our local water park together as nothing was wrong and she was still alive. We came home to go to bed and I said, I love you, Mommy. My mom did not reply, so I was scared. I went to kiss her face and it was cold like ice. When I turned on the light, I saw my mom had turned into a doll. I woke up from my dream hysterically crying. It creeped me out and I still think about that dream to this day. Since then, I started experiencing more paranormal experiences. I remember being 11 and falling asleep on our couch in the morning before I had school. My grandparents always left our house around 5:30 a.m. for work and left my brothers and me to get ready to go to school by ourselves. My brothers were in high school and in junior high, so I was always the last to leave our house. The morning I fell asleep on our couch, subconsciously, I could feel myself being watched. I must have been dreaming because I did wake up after falling off the couch screaming. But I had walked to the stairs in my dream, and there at the top of the stairs, I saw a girl with long black hair and a sinister smile staring at me. When I fell off my couch screaming and waking up, I avoided my grandparents' staircase, grabbed my backpack, and left the house without even brushing my hair or teeth because the bathroom was upstairs. A couple of years later, must have been about 13 or 14, my uncle's house creeped me out, and although I was obsessed with death and ghosts and holding onto my dead mother's memory and always longing to make contact with her, something never sat quite right with me when I'd be at my uncle's babysitting my cousins. He lived in a 3-bedroom home with a 2-bedroom basement apartment. There was a 2-car garage on the left side and a 1-car garage on the other. From my cousin's bedroom, you could see the 2-car garage. It always left all us kids with an eerie feeling to look at the damn garage. My cousin could never sleep with his blinds open, and even then he made my uncle put the curtains over the blinds. My cousins would say that he did not like the dark shadow man looking into his room. We never quite knew what he was speaking of until my uncle said his home and redecorated his home and placed pictures of Jesus upon the walls. My uncle also placed pictures of my mom and him as kids up on the walls as well, because my mom was my uncle's only sibling. One day, my uncle decided to take my brothers and me and his own kids back to school shopping, so my grandparents could work and not have to worry about it. We came back to my uncle's house, and it was completely trashed inside. Every picture that was religious had been shattered and thrown across the rooms. My mom's pictures looked like someone had stepped on them, destroying her face. And a couple of the religious statues that my uncle's wife at the time had gotten, they were turned upside down. We called the police thinking it had been a break-in, but nothing was missing. That same week, one of my brothers and I were babysitting our cousins for our uncle. I'd fallen asleep on my cousin's bunk bed with two of the boys. I woke up to my cousin, Will. He was the oldest of my uncle's sons, screaming that he saw the shadow man through the blinds and curtains. I tried to reassure Will that it was probably just a shadow from the downstairs neighbors. Then I heard my brother Paul walking into the bedroom. He said, "There are no neighbors downstairs. The apartment is vacant." My brother and I stood to watch the window for a minute, and for what seemed like seconds turned into a minute of a trance of us just staring and waiting to see something. We were jolted out of it when we heard three very loud slams beneath us. My brother yelled what and ran to the back of the door that led to the staircase to go downstairs into the vacant basement apartment. My brother reached the middle of the staircase and said, I'm not going down there. This was a bad idea. I asked if I should call the cops, assuming someone probably broke in. As my brother started to say yes, the downstairs front door apartment flew open. Nothing was in there. My brother was 16 at the time, and I've never seen him cry, but as my brother and my cousins and I all ran back to my uncle's house, my brother put his arm around all four of us kids and started crying. We never babysat at my uncle's house again after that. A couple of years later, I was 16 going on 17. My friends and I found out that we could buy a Ouija board at Toys R Us. So like the dumb kids we were, we bought one. We decided to have a sleepover and play with it in the bedroom. I did not experience anything at the time while we played with it, but my friends Haley and Aubrey did. They swore they had a terrible feeling and were regretting buying the damn thing in the first place, so we put it away. A week later, we were telling the story to my boyfriend at the time, and he asked for the Ouija board to play with because he swore he had a ghost in his house. Aubrey said to follow her outside, and as we followed her to the trunk of her car to get the game from my boyfriend, she said, "You can just have it, Tux. I don't want it. I cannot bring myself to take it out of my trunk when I'm at home, so it's yours." As she opened the trunk, we were all shocked to realize there was nothing there. Aubrey swore no one had driven her car, that she had not opened the trunk for a week before putting the Ouija board into it. This creeped us all out. But a year and a half later, I'm 19, a single mom, still living at my grandparents' house. My daughter, Evelyn, had slept with me for the first year of her life. When I was pregnant with her, I did switch rooms in the house because I wanted a bigger room. I decided to turn my old room into her nursery. As I started the transition to put Evelyn in her own room at night, every morning at 3... It sounds so cliche, I know. She would wake up screaming hysterically. She refused to go back into the nursery for the rest of the night. This went on for some time, and I dismissed it as she was having a hard time transitioning. One night, my ex and I were sleeping in my room, and we heard a loud bang, as if someone was in my daughter's closet. She kicked the wall. We ran to my daughter's room to see just her staring at the closet. When she realized we were standing there watching her, wondering what was going on, that's when she started screaming. I had my brother Glenn bless my daughter's room. We did grow up religious, so I trusted my brother's holding the priesthood could help. Nothing happened anymore to myself or my daughter in that house. And she slept in her room simply fine after that. A few years later, I got married and found myself pregnant with my son. I had moved out of my grandparents' house and into my own place with my husband and my daughter. My grandmother's health started deteriorating. With a hopeless look in my eyes, I turned to my husband and said, "I'm going to lose my grandma. I can feel it." A few nights later, I had a dream of my grandma dying. Time frame, how she would die and where I would be. I woke up crying because I felt in my gut that it was the truth. I told my husband about the dream, and he said that I was wrong and that it was my nerves, and I'm just worried. After my son Jackson was born, my husband planned a Disney vacation, and there it was, the signs of my dream coming to a reality. I told him I did not want to go because my grandma would die and I would not be home. He called me crazy, laughed it all off, and said everything was already booked and paid for. So very hesitantly, I went on a family vacation. I got a phone call from my aunt on the third day of our vacation saying that my grandma was in the hospital and we did not have a lot of time. I packed up my kids and made my husband pack up and say goodbye to his family early, and we rushed home. I lost my grandma the same night. A few weeks later, I told my husband I could not shake it off, but I had a bad feeling that something else would happen. He asked me not to start any of this because I just lost my grandma. So for days, I walked around, and when I remember this, everything seemed hazy. It was like a dream, but it was real. My health started to deteriorate. Without knowing it, I awoke 3 weeks later from being in a coma. My liver and kidneys had shut down completely, and I had a near-death experience. All these years and all this time, I was obsessed with seeing my mother again after I'd lost her at such a young age. I saw her while I was in my coma. I knew I was dying because my mother came to me. She did not say anything, but her arms were outstretched towards me, reaching for me to hug her. And I drew back in anger, knowing that if I had hugged her, I would have died. My anger is what brought me out of my coma. After I got better and was on dialysis for a few months, I started spending more time with my grandpa. I took my kids to see him every day for the week. Losing my grandma made my brothers fall back away from our family, but it brought my uncle, my grandpa, and myself much closer. A couple of years after being healthy, I had a dream that I would lose my grandpa, and I know how and when as well. Months before losing my grandpa, I would cry every night. My heart felt heavy, and one close friend of mine, Marie, insisted that these dreams were gifts. I insist that they are curses. I lost my grandpa back in 2015, just exactly how I dreamed he would go. He would die having surgery. I have a few more paranormal experiences as well. I don't like to bring up the more recent ones because when I do, they're talking about something bad happening to myself and my family. I know houses can be haunted. I know dolls and other objects can be possessed, but is there such a thing as a haunted person? Maybe I opened myself up to some type of darkness when I lost my mom 21 years ago. I'm not sure about what the dreams are about, but the experiences. What else could it be?
That's actually a good question to ask. Is there actually a haunted person?
In the context of how it's being asked, yes. Does it mean the person is haunted, quote unquote? I don't know if that's the accurate way of looking at it, but I certainly believe there are people who are sensitive enough to have feelings about these sort of things before they happen. Premonitions, if you will, or visions or dreams that do come true. There's something there. It's like a sixth sense that can almost predict the future on certain things. Now, it's not going to win you the lottery, but it's a connection to family. It's a connection to living people. And sometimes I think some people have an intuition on what is going to happen. Now, does that mean the person is haunted? I think it all depends where those messages are coming from. If it's just an inner sense that one has, that's not a haunting. It would be in the world of paranormal, but it's not a haunting unless it's someone on the other side that's delivering these messages to the person as like a courtesy or as a service from the other side. Then that's what I would call a haunted person, when they're getting messages directly from someone or something who's over there.
I was also going to say this. You should get a Ouija board bell.
A Ouija board bell?
Yeah.
We don't need another bell. Maybe it would be like a buzzer or something. A really loud buzzer, like from Family Feud, where all of a sudden the word Ouija comes up and it's like, you know. That would be really annoying. That would startle far too many people. I still have the bunk bed bells, and I think I'll stick with those for right now. Thank you for sharing those experiences and those stories with us here on the program. We do greatly appreciate it. Phone number, what is it?
855-853-4802.
Call in, share your real ghost stories with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We don't even have a house phone. I was going to say, do you even know our house phone number? But we don't have a house phone. Nobody has that. We have cell phones. Now, don't say it, but do you know my cell phone number? I don't think you do. Maybe you do. I don't know. You might. I say it on when I'm on voice, leaving voicemails so often. I bet you could say it, but don't say it on the air. But it's interesting because when I was a kid, one of the things you learned, you know, it was your phone number, you know, your address. I know you know that. But you know the phone number to the ghost show that you host or co-host. So
it's better than, well, an individual phone number,
I guess. I don't know what it is, but it's something. Let's go to another caller here and hear another real ghost story. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, everybody. It's Summer in Buffalo. I have another story for you. My daughter and I were sitting in the living room last night, and I don't remember how we got to the conversation, but I had asked her, I said, have you ever had anything happen to you in the house, you know, that you couldn't explain or that was kind of weird, you know? My daughter, who's 8, sidebar, by the way, I think Harper and Emily would get along fantastically because they're kind of the same personality. But anyway, back to the story. She goes, there was a woman in my room. I went, what? She goes, yeah. She goes, when we first bought the house, she goes, there was a woman who would be in my room. And I went, that's, why didn't you tell anybody? She was like, well, she wasn't there all the time, and she wasn't mean or anything. She goes, but I couldn't understand her at first. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, she kind of spoke another language. I said, oh. I said, well, was she mean? Did she scare you? She's like, no. She goes, she used to play with me. And she would point to things, and then I would say what it is. And she'd point at something else, and then I'd say what it is. And I went, oh, so she was trying to figure out the words for you. She goes, yeah. And she goes, and eventually, she spoke to me in English. And I said, well, what does she look like? She goes, well, she had long, dark hair, and she had dark skin. And I said, do you mean like a black person? She goes, no. She goes, not a black person, mommy. She goes, just darker skin. Not like you and me, just a little dark. And I went, oh, okay. I said, is she still there? She goes, no. I said, okay. I said, are you okay? She's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, she was really nice. But then all of a sudden she goes, oh, but I figured out what language she was speaking. I went, what? How did you figure that out? She goes, well, I was watching YouTube. And I was watching about the pyramids. You know, the pyramids are in Egypt. I guess the pyramids are in Egypt. I'm like, thank you. And she goes, and they were talking about the language they use. And when they talked about it, it sounded just like the woman and what she was saying. And I went, oh. She goes, so I think that woman was from Egypt. I said, okay. And I said, but she's not around anymore. And she goes, nope. And I went, okay. Are you okay? She's like, I'm fine. And then she just kind of went back to playing what she's doing. Now, my family obviously were sensitive to this stuff, and we acknowledge this, okay? My mother has it, I have it, clearly now my daughter has it, but to hear her say that stuff is kind of terrifying as a parent, because not all ghosts are going to be nice, and I don't necessarily know what to do to protect her from that, but I am grateful that thus far, any interactions that we've had, whether in the house or in the yard or things like that, have been, you know, I don't get any kind of negative vibes from being in the home and things like that. So, but that was the latest story. My daughter apparently taught some Egyptian woman how to speak English, and then she left. So, whatever you make of that, you go right ahead. And hey, you know, she could have invented it in her head. 8-year-olds do that kind of thing. But I'd like to think that that isn't the case. And she actually did see that woman and helped her on her way to wherever she was going. Anyway, keep up the great work, guys. Always love listening. Have a good one. Bye.
Was it being an Egyptian woman? I think...
An Egyptian woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it might be that, because she was, from what I heard, that mm-hmm. she was talking in that language.
Mm-hmm.
So that is actually pretty amazing to hear on a ghost story like this.
What's interesting and what I would be wondering is why, you know, quite often when you have a ghost in a house or a spirit that's showing up, it's someone who had lived there at one point in time or someone from that area of the world. Now, I would not be at all surprised at all if you're in that area of the world and you met and you came across spirits, you know, that were from that area there. But, you know, obviously we are a melting pot here in our country of all different races and nationalities and all that. And maybe it was something where it was the ghost of a little girl, you know, who had family that had emigrated to our country at one point in time. Maybe something happened. Maybe the little girl never or the woman that she was interacting with never did learn English. And your daughter was just literally just being nice, like, hey, let me help you out. And I don't know. I mean, how would you handle that as an 8-year-old? Although she was talking about that this happened a while back, though, too.
I was screamed.
You wouldn't have been ready to just do a lesson with someone?
No, it's just like, get out of my room.
Yeah, I would have been a little bit scared, I think, too. I had that same sort of encounter. Kudos to your daughter, Summer, for being so calm in such an awkward situation of that happening.
I know, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's it would be troubling. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You can get access to all of our bonus episode, advanced episodes, and more, and help keep our show on the air. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.